Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Steve Mays. We're glad you're taking this opportunity to deepen your study of the Scriptures. Now we invite you to follow along in your Bible as we dive into the light of the Word.
Shall we turn to John chapter 6? And let's take a look at verse 35. And then we're going to jump over to Exodus chapter 3. And so if you could put your fingers or a piece of paper in both of those, I will explain. Interesting that in chapter 6, verse 66, so the number 666, is that many from that moment departed and no longer walked with the Lord. But this morning we would like to start a 7-part series on Sunday morning on really the great I Am's of the Bible. In the Gospel of John, there are 7 I Am's. He declares, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And so we pick up in John chapter 6, verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. So Jesus is now making a very strong statement, I am. Then if you would jump down to verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him, because he said that I am the bread which came down from heaven. And then jump down to verse 48, I am the bread of life. And then lastly in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for life of the world. So 4 times in this chapter it mentions that he is the bread of life. Let me give to you, before we start, the 7 different times this I am is used. Here we find in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. If you will jump over to chapter 8, verse 12, you will be able to underline, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world in John chapter 8, verse 12. If you will then take another jump over to chapter 10, and there are 2 in chapter 10 in verse 9, I am the door. And then again in verse 11, I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And then in chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection. You remember when he was speaking to Martha that he said, I am the resurrection and the life in John chapter 11, verse 25. And there are 2 more in John chapter 14, verse 6, the one that we know so well. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the last one that we will be looking at is in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the true vine. So 7 different times John uses this word, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the vine. I came across an interesting story the other day that kind of says it really where it's at. It's a story about a little boy named Timothy. Timothy was afraid of the lightning and the thunder. His mom and dad went into his room and tucked him in and said, now, Tommy, don't be afraid. God is right here in the room with you. He said, okay, mom and dad, I won't be afraid. But when his mom and dad left the room, he started to get ready for bed, and the lightning flashed and the thunder rolled, and he screamed bloody murder and jumped under the sheets. Well, his dad and mom came running into the room and said, honey, we thought we told you, don't be afraid of the lightning. God is right here with you in the room. And he replied, mom and dad, I know that God is right here in the room with me. But I need someone with skin on right now. I kind of like that story because a lot of times we don't see the Lord, nor do we feel the Lord. And yet He will never leave you, nor will He ever forsake you. He is seeking to bring you to a point that you understand the consciousness of God within your life. That you allow God to come in and to dominate your life, to take control of your very being. If you will do that, then God will bless you, and God will meet you, and God will become all that you need within your life. And so when we look at I am the Good Shepherd, I am the Bread of Life, if I'm really going to understand what Jesus is really saying, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. And that is at the very beginning of your Bible, and you can grab that quickly. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, we come to a dialogue between Moses and God. And you know the story very well, how Moses was fleeing from his life out of Egypt because he took an Egyptian and killed that Egyptian, thinking that he would be the deliverer of the children of Israel. But he was premature. God wanted to bury the whole army, but Moses got ahead of God. And because he got ahead of God, he now put himself in a difficult position, and so he ran for his life out in the desert. And there in the desert, God begins to work in this man. He begins to speak to him, begins to undo what others had done in his life. And for 40 years, you remember that he had become part of the Pharaoh's house. He was educated in the finest schools, and he was brilliant when it came to the things of Egypt. But now God had to redo everything that he had learned. And it had to become a time in Moses' life that he would learn to trust God. And I want to tell you up front, trusting God is not an easy thing. It means you're not going to worry about anthrax. It means you're going to trust God that he's going to be with you, and that he's going to show you, and he's going to guide you and lead you and direct you within your life. It means you have to trust God with your teenage daughter when she goes out on a date. Sometimes I think if I did it over again, I'd be cleaning my guns as the boy came over or something, just to kind of give him an idea that I'm going to be with him. Sometimes I think if I had to do the whole thing over, I'd send both the kids to the mission field and bring them back when they're 23 years old. But being a parent is about trusting God, not always trusting your children. Sometimes it even means trusting God more than you trust your spouse. Because you believe that God can speak to your spouse where you can't. And you believe that God can speak to your boss where you cannot. And so the dialogue begins where you begin to grow in the knowledge of grace and you begin to pray. Not because you're trying to turn the tide, you're trying to find what God's will is in your life. And so you show your humility and your ability to humble yourself in submission and surrender your life to His Lordship as you begin to seek His direction. At the end of 40 years, Moses is now 80 years old. He sees a burning bush, and you need to remember that was quite a common sight there in the desert. Things would often explode because of the heat. But this one was different because the bush was not being consumed. And so he was drawn towards the bush. And when he turned, the Bible declares God turned. And when you turn, God will turn. And the moment he turned, he heard a voice, "Take off your shoes, for this is holy ground." And I, in my own heart, believe that what it means to take off your shoes is a very important part of your life and my life. In the book of Joshua, the angel host told Joshua, "Take off your shoes, because this is holy ground." If I was to put it in our terminology today and put the cookies on the bottom shelf, I would say that after 80 years of Moses' life, He was tired of walking in those shoes. It had not really done much for him. In the life of Joshua, it was 40 years in Egypt and 40 years in the wilderness, and he was tired of walking in those shoes, and so when he took off his shoes, it means that now he's going to walk in God's shoes. And it means that God's going to walk in your shoes. And when a person really comes to a point where they're tired of who they are, tired of what's going on in their life, and they take off their shoe, in a sense, they're saying, God, would you come now and begin to walk in my life? And the moment God takes over your shoes, takes over the place of your authority, takes over what you do and the things that are important to you, then things begin to happen. And so we pick up the story. And now, therefore, in verse 10, and I will send thee into Pharaoh. Or come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And underline that, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Great question. Verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now, maybe that doesn't mean a lot to you today in the year in which we live. But to Moses, it was a revelation. And before, it was a name that was unapproachable, Yahweh or Jehovah. But for the first time in the life of Moses, God was saying to Moses, this is how you're going to know me. You're going to know me in a way that you need to know me. What it means is, I am that I am. In other words, Moses, you can put in whatever you need between the letters. I am your strength that I am. You might be losing joy today, and God would say, I am your joy that I am. So whatever need, whatever desire, whatever thing that is bothering you, God is inviting you to a personal relationship with Him. Now, that has nothing to do with church. It has nothing to do with a religion. It has nothing to deal with my past. It has everything to do with right now within my life. And the reason why relationships are falling apart with our children and our marriages and our single life is because we don't know how to maintain relationships, because we do not know how to maintain a relationship with God. If you are right with God, you are right in every other relationship in your life. But if you are wrong with God, then every other relationship in your life is going to suffer. So when God becomes the common denominator of your life, though I fall and though I stumble, yet I still look to the Lord, then God becomes all that I need. And he said to Moses, tell them that I am has sent you. Kind of interesting. I am to you, Moses, what I am in myself. I am to you, Stephen, what I am in myself. The moment you join heart with me, you and I become one. And you now become a majority, not a minority. In other words, I won't give you joy. I will become your life. Therefore, you will have joy. You won't have power, but I'll give you myself. And that is all the dunamis power you need in your life. And see, today we live in a society that we want all the benefits without God. We want someone to protect our nation, but not God. And we want someone to watch over our marriage, but not get involved. And we want all the blessings of life, but we don't want to have to answer to anyone in our life. And until I understand that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world, and when I really understand that nothing can touch me unless it goes through His hand, and when I understand that He'll never leave me nor forsake me as long as I live, and when I really understand that He died for me, that He might save me, then it becomes a personal relationship with my Father. And when that happens, everything changes in my life. I become part of the work that God's doing. And now God speaks through me and God works through my life. And so it's important for you and I to understand the relationship that God is seeking to build. He said the very same thing to Abraham in Genesis 17, verse 1. And Abram was 90 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And so we declare, who is ever going to be perfect? That's not the point. The point of perfect means to be complete or to be mature. The issue is, how can I walk a Christian walk without Him being part of my life? You remember Amos in chapter 3 declares, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So God is saying that I will be your God and I will walk with you during this time in your life. He also said to David, be still and know that I am God. So I can rush around and live on CNN and read every newspaper and understand everything that is going on in my country, but it still will not bring me a peace in my own heart. So God simply declares to David, David, you need to set still. David, you need to be still. You need to be still enough to realize I am fighting your battles. To Jeremiah in chapter 32, verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? And the answer is no. Can He deliver you from cancer? Yes. Does He want to? I don't know. You say, well, I want to be delivered. Well, you're going to be delivered one way or the other. Either you're going to be healed and walking down here, or you're going to be healed with a brand new body up in heaven. Whether I live into the Lord. Whether I die into the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. And people who do not know the Lord think, well, that's really morbid. Is it? Is it really morbid to want to meet the Lord? Is it really bad to want to be with the Lord, to go to a place where there's no more crying, no more tears, no more sadness? That where my body will be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye? That this corruption will put on incorruption? In other words, why am I living my life? Paul says, listen, if you keep me alive, I'm going to share with you the answer of life, Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ. If you take my life and I die of anthrax, then for me to die is to gain. I'm going to see the Lord. So how am I going to function today? I have my past and my future and my present dedicated in the Lord. Now, there's not one of us that desires to go through hard times. None of us know how to deal with difficult moments in our life. And I've seen enough pain in life to want to say that God is good and life is tough. And God never promised to insulate or to isolate you from pain or sorrow within your life. And the reason why there are divorces going on, the reason why there's terror going on, the reason why the things are falling apart all over the world is because God made the heavens and the earth, and man is unwilling to submit his life to God's authority. And God is saying to us once again, I am. And He is saying more than ever before, I want to walk with you. I want to fellowship with you. He said to Ezekiel in 38:23, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many, for I am the Lord. So it's God that will magnify Himself. And it's God that will sanctify himself and one other. Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with thy right hand of righteousness. And so to Isaiah, he declares, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, I will be with you. When you go through the valley, I will be with you. When you go through the times where the floods begin to overflow you, I will be with you. In other words, God is declaring that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And when I look at my life, and I look at some of our lives, and I look at the world in which we live, what am I to do? Do I panic and go ballistic? Or do I drop to my knees and ask God to help me? Do I fly or do I not fly? Do I minister to others around the country or do I stay home in fear? Do I grab my mail without gloves or do I just walk out there and grab it? Those are questions that only you can answer. But for me and my life, there are things that I still need to do and want to do. And so there's no difference if it's Nero seeking to kill the Christians or anthrax seeking to get a hold of me. For me to be paralyzed is very simply to say, where are you, God? And you're going to hear about others who are going to have difficult times. But wouldn't it make sense to you that when our country is under attack and terrorism is beginning to gain a foothold and you can now do terrorism for 34 cents a stamp, wouldn't it just dream in your heart and mind when you hear the postmaster who said that the mail is no longer safe to be delivered to your home? Wouldn't you think that you and I would fall to our knees and say, God, if there's ever a time that I need you, it's now. Watch over my family. God, would you please help my children through this tough time? But the problem is the answer is, I can't believe it. What's going on? And this is the time that God wants to build a relationship in your life. And so I wanted to give you the very basics of a foundation. Jesus said, you remember in the New Testament, before Abraham was, I am. He said, you're not even 40 years old. He says, before Abraham was ever alive, I was and am. Jesus said, when you see me lifted up on the cross, then you will know that I am. And finally, one of the most frightening verses that Jesus ever said, I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am. And Jesus now says, I am the bread of life. Oh, you can try to satisfy the hunger, but the material things will never satisfy the hunger that God has placed in your heart. The woman at the well sought to satisfy the thirst in her own heart, but she couldn't. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you drink of this well, you're going to thirst again. If you drink of me, you're never going to thirst again. He's going to come next week and he's going to share with us, and you are the bread of life, that in that bread, you will never hunger again. And though you can be blessed and have material things, they won't drive you or fulfill your heart. The driving force of your life has been healed. If you have, great. If you don't, great. You're satisfied, because never again do you need to say, I'm not right with God. Or never again do you need to say, well, I'm so thirsty, but I have nothing to drink. I need to go here and go there. Finally, there's a peace that comes over your life. But it will only happen as you begin to realize, Stephen, I am. Whatever you need me to be, I am that I am in myself. Well, you mean, God, that this morning I can put you, put whatever I need there? Huh? Well, Stephen, I am your strength that I am in myself. You mean, God, you're going to give me your strength to finish up today? Uh-huh. As your day is, so shall my strength be. Well, God, I don't have a lot of love right now. I'm kind of bitter. I am your love that I am myself. I am the source of love. I'll be your love. You mean you will love me in spite of who I am with so much love that I will be able to love my children and my family and my friends even though they hurt me? Uh-huh. You've been doing it all in the flesh and you're tired. Are you willing to come and say I am? Father, I pray this morning that God, as we look in the next few weeks together on Sunday morning, how that we need to be able to say that and be able to hear that you are the bread of life. God, we're so hungry within our own spirits. We're dying spiritually, though we have so many material things. Buying the newest cars or the newest clothing or buying the newest home or occupying more things and having greater positions will never satisfy the hunger that you put within our heart. It's only as we come to you and we begin to eat of your word that we eat something that will not perish. Everything else we partake perishes before us. Lord, our friends die. Cars begin to decay. Homes begin to get termites. Children begin to leave home. Relationships begin to falter. And we look around and we cry out, where are you? And God, if we will listen, we will hear, I am here. We need to today come to the source of the food. Come to the source of the water. Come to the source of the light. It's not that we've been hurt by other churches or other pastors or, Lord, by other marriages. We need to come back to Jesus. Come back to the living water. Come back to the Word of God. And so this morning, we want to come home. And Father, we will thank you and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing?
That's Pastor Steve Mays wrapping up our study time together. If you'd like to know more about the many other Bible study helps we offer here at Calvary Chapel South Bay, visit us online at www.ccsouthbay.org or give us a call at 1-800-339-WISE. Until next time, God bless.